You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson, along with Tolliver, as always, who is in Nashville this week. Tolliver, how's it going?
It's going great. You know, I never knew Nashville had winter until I got here, but now I absolutely do. It was 10 degrees last week. Okay?
Well, that's why you've got to get inside one of those honky-tonks on Broadway and watch some music, Tolliver. That's why they're
that's
there.
That's a good point.
New listeners to announce this week on South Carolina Public Radio across the state of South Carolina. Very good timing because we are just a few weeks away from that state's Republican presidential primary, which we will get to on another episode this hour. We're talking about TikTok, which is a topic that I know, Tolliver, is very near and dear to your heart.
I'm already laughing. Listen, 48% of my day is spent on TikTok. It's insane. Taken everything from me, Jerry.
That's why we need to do a longer middle so you can have less time on TikTok. But because TikTok is Chinese owned, there's a lot of fear about what the company might do with Americans' data, so much so that you cannot have TikTok on any federal devices in this country, in the military, or on official devices in most states. But of course, the app remains legal for the general public for now. So we're asking you, should TikTok be banned in the United States? Our number is 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. We'll get to your calls in a moment. But first, last week we asked you to weigh in on a contentious issue in education. Should parents be allowed to use public funds to send their kids to a school of their choice, including private schools? We got a lot of voicemails after the show. Here are some.
Hi, my name is Jen. I'm calling from Beverly Hills, Michigan.
My name is Woodrow. I am calling from Southern Indiana.
Hi, this is Francis. I have worked both in private schools and in public schools, and I feel that a child should be able to go to whatever system works for them.
I used to be against this idea as I didn't want my taxpayer dollars going to religious institutions. However, now that I have a child who needs special education services, the school district that I'm in is not able to provide those, and I am forced to send my child to a private school.
Public education must not be defunded for any reason, least of all because parents may want to send their children to a luxury private school or religious academy on the backs of the public school funding.
A lot of great calls. Thanks to everyone who called in. So this hour, we are asking, should TikTok be banned in the United States? Not just because of the issues that came up on Capitol Hill this week involving all the social media platforms and the harm that they're causing young people, but because of national security as well. Let's meet our panel. Emily Baker-White is a technology reporter for Forbes. Emily, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Brendan Carr is a commissioner with the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. Brendan Carr, welcome to you.
Oh, so good to be with you. Thanks so much.
And you were appointed by both President Trump and President Biden to the FCC. You've been very vocal in your opposition to TikTok, and you are calling for a total ban. Why?
Yeah, I think there's two main issues with TikTok. As a threshold matter, as you noted, it is an immensely popular application with millions and millions of Americans. But there's two real issues with it. One is surveillance. And the second is foreign influence. And we'll have time to go through both of those. But if you back up and think about the life cycle of this issue, back in 2019, 2020, the Trump administration took a run at banning TikTok and it didn't succeed through the courts. And the issue largely went dormant for a couple of years. And TikTok was representing during that period of time that very little, or in some cases, they would say effectively no data is getting back inside of China. So Americans shouldn't be concerned. And that's when Emily actually broke the story wide open about 18 months ago and got leaked internal TikTok communications that showed, quote, everything is seen in China. And this isn't just seeing the, you know, cat videos that you upload. It's search and browsing history, keystroke patterns, according to TikTok's terms of service, potentially biometrics. And so that really changed the nature and tenor of the debate. And over the last 18 months, it's been a real live debate at the federal level. Should we ban TikTok or not? I think we should, based on the national security threat. But in the spirit of the middle, there is a compromise here as well, which is, I think, actually the right policy answer is to require the divestiture of TikTok from ByteDance, a company that they claim, I believe, is based in the Caymans. But all the reporting that we've seen and shows us that is an entity that is ultimately beholden to the CCP, has major operations in Beijing, has many, many members of the CCP that are employed there. And in fact, has internal CCP committees within it. And so if we go that route, people can continue to get the cat videos that they love, but we could just be in a much more secure environment by breaking that tie back to the CCP.
Let me just ask you one question, because the FCC, your organization, did ban new sales of telecom equipment from the Chinese company Huawei in 2022, another Chinese company that had raised national security fears. Does the FCC have the authority to ban TikTok, or who does in the United States?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the FCC per se. The reason I speak about it is because it is relevant to our expertise. As you noted, we've taken action at the FCC on what we call the device layer. So we've addressed Huawei, ZTE, those types of devices that we effectively found were spyware. And we've been working to get that out of our networks. We've also taken action at what we call the carrier level. So entities like China Mobile, China Telecom, we blocked them from connecting to our networks based on concerns. TikTok is at the application layer. That in the main could be taken by the Federal Trade Commission, or really the main focus of activity has been a committee that's actually run out of Treasury called CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. That's the one that through both Trump and Biden has been looking the most closely at the national security threats from TikTok and frankly has not, over multiple years now, been able to reach the conclusion to bless their continued operation. But while that review is ongoing, TikTok is allowed to continue to operate in the U.S. So either the FTC or Treasury CFIUS, but also Congress obviously can step in with legislation. And frankly, I think that's what needs to happen very quickly here.
Yeah, if they wanted to make that move, which would probably be politically kind of difficult, which we'll get to. Emily Baker-White, the commissioner brought you up there. There is a criminal case against ByteDance, which is TikTok's parent company, for using the app to spy on journalists who were covering the company. They've admitted to doing so, and you were one of the journalists who was spied on. How did they do that, and why did they do that?
So, as Commissioner Carr mentioned, I started covering TikTok a couple of years ago. And as Commissioner Carr said, I became sort of the go-to TikTok reporter a few years ago after breaking the story of an internal TikTok project called Project Texas. And Project Texas was TikTok's sort of big bet to try to separate the access to U.S. user data from their parent company, ByteDance. And I found out that they were trying to do this because all of that U.S. user data was accessible to a lot of people in China. And that's troubling because China has a national security law that requires Chinese nationals, like regular people, and companies in China to turn over really any information that the government asks them for. And so what TikTok and its parent company ByteDance were trying to do is protect their people in China who, if the government shows up and says, you have to give me the data, they can't reasonably ask their employees to break the law. But they didn't, they want to sort of, you know, put a big sign up, like the taxis that say, you know, driver carries no money, right? We don't have it. We can't access it. So the employees in China can't be in trouble if they can't access the data in the first place. The problem is there are a lot of ways that TikTok and ByteDance have been for years exchanging data, not necessarily in a nefarious way, but it's just the way the tool was built. And so TikTok was trying really hard to separate its systems from ByteDance, but there was still a lot of cross-pollination of data happening. So I broke that story.
And then they spied on you.
The company was nervous about my breaking that story.
Right.
And they wanted to stop leaks to me and to other journalists. And so they started investigating the leaks, trying to figure out who was talking to me. And one of the ways they wanted to do that was they went and looked on my TikTok account at my IP address, which gave an approximation of where I was. And then they compared that location data, that IP-based location data, to the IP-based location data of all of TikTok and ByteDance's employees. And the theory was, if I was in a cafe or a library or a park, and a TikTok or ByteDance employee was in the same place at the same time, maybe that meant that that person was leaking
wow.
to me.
Wow. Well, now that we've sufficiently scared the audience, let's get to one of our callers. Madison is joining us from Austin, Texas. Madison, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
Hello. No, I don't think TikTok should be banned, and I'm very passionate about that just because of the benefits I've seen. Of course, everything has negatives, but at the end of the day, there's so much good in TikTok and the ability to reach others. I myself even started a business thanks to TikTok. And so many people have spoken firsthand just saying how following content and even my content has inspired them to have confidence and start working out. You hear these stories all the time about people sharing videos and their life being changed for the better. Right. So no, it shouldn't be banned.
Just briefly, how did you start a business thanks to TikTok?
I started by posting workouts. It's my passion, fitness and health. And shortly after, the more people that started coming in, I decided that I wanted to get certified. Mm-hmm. And so after my certification, I then created a whole business from it. And I now train people online.
Madison, thank you so much for that call. Emily Baker-White, your response to that. A lot of people have started businesses. They're doing commercials about it all the time from TikTok now.
Yeah, I mean, one of the trickiest things about TikTok is that it's huge. There are many, many millions of Americans and people all around the world who use this app to communicate, to transact business, to live their lives, right? To engage in really critical discourse. And nobody wants to see that shut down. And so if you believe that there are national security risks posed by TikTok, that it could be used, like Commissioner Carr said, either to sort of amass data that is sensitive and private information about us that could fall into the wrong hands, or that it could be used to sort of influence what we see.
Right.
Then the question is, how can you address those concerns without having to stop people like Madison from being able to have a business?
And we're going to get to that. But Tolliver, I will say I use TikTok only for one reason, which is to post TikToks on the middle account. But I know you feel very differently.
No, it's my baby. I'm not anywhere near as much of a super user as like Zach King, who might be the most popular TikToker. Here's a clip from the most viewed video on the app. 2 billion views. Zach King, have a little fun with a Harry Potter inspired special effect.
Like my costume?
Yo, that's so cool. How are you doing that?
I've got a Nimbus 2000.
Oh, I see. Here. Wait, is that my longboard? Oh,
Longboardium Leviosa!
Zach, my longboard! Come on, man, get back here!
I have to say, I feel even more lost, Tolliver. I have no idea what is going on in that clip. I mean, you have to look at that. You have to see it. But then that means you have to get TikTok, which means you could be spied on. So who knows? I don't want to recommend that. But what I would recommend
is
if you're a podcast listener to the middle, please go and rate the podcast. Give us a nice 5-star rating. And we would love to hear from you about what you think. We'll be right back with more of the middle.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade. With the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, and philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking, should TikTok, the popular social media video app, be fully banned in the United States? Tolliver, what is our number?
It's 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by Emily Baker White, technology reporter for Forbes, and Brendan Carr, commissioner with the FCC. And before we get back to the phones, Commissioner Carr, there are, as we said, politicians on both sides of the political spectrum who have called for a ban, but it does seem like it's an easy thing to say that you want, but they haven't actually done it. It would be pretty unpopular, wouldn't it? There are 150 million users in the U.S.
Yeah, this is one issue that is particularly interesting to me. You know, there's some discussion in Washington, D.C. that says that the national security officials, Republicans, Democrats, including those in the Biden administration, have been very clear about sounding the alarm about a very real threat that comes from TikTok, its data collection, and again, the foreign influence. But we've been hearing that there has been some pushback from political considerations that, to your point, it would be unpopular, and that that is what so far has been keeping the app alive. And again, I think it's important that we focus on, you know, the real national security threat. But if we do go the route of divestiture, again, just breaking that link back to the CCP, then I think that potentially could address all those concerns because it allows the app to continue to operate. But it is important to remember what those threats are, because at this point, you know, TikTok has a history of malign conduct that is longer than a CVS receipt. If you go back to that spying on Emily, for instance, you know, when it was first reported by her, that someone was being spied on and didn't disclose initially that it was her. TikTok came out and said that that story lacked journalistic integrity. And again, when they were, you know, caught having data go back to China, they, you know, initially denied that as well. And so there's a history here, both of malign conduct and attempting to cover it up. And the foreign influence side is really interesting. You know, before our 2022 midterm elections, the CCP state media was setting up TikTok accounts and targeting select U.S. politicians for criticism ahead of the election. And there's also been a lot of studies that have shown through various points in time that the censorship on TikTok has a very pro-CCP bent, whether it has to do with Uyghur genocide or Hong Kong protests or Tiananmen Square. And in fact, recently, since October 7th in Israel, there's been a lot of studies that show that the pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas content, more particularly, has been getting outsized play on TikTok compared to Israeli content.
Let's get to some calls. Veronica is with us from Detroit, Michigan. Veronica, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
Absolutely. It kind of bothers me there's even a debate about it. There's so many other countries that have already outlawed it. It seems like they didn't do it lightly. We should listen and learn. And our country's under constant cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns from Russia and other countries trying to weaken our country. China's not really been known to have the U.S.'s interests at heart. So especially in this critical election year, I don't know why we would want to put our country at greater risk, you know, for the sake of entertainment.
Veronica, thank you. You bring up a good point, Emily Baker White, that there are other countries that have banned it, including India, which did so back in 2020.
Yeah, so India was an enormous market for TikTok. It's obviously, it's a huge country. There are a lot of people there. There are a lot of potential ad dollars there, right? And TikTok was really surging in the country. Tons of people were using it. And after a spat between the Indian and Chinese forces, a sort of border dispute, India said, you know what, we've had it. And they banned a bunch of Chinese apps, not just TikTok, but many, many apps that were owned by Chinese parent companies. And after India banned TikTok, my colleague Alex Levine had a really revealing scoop earlier this year. TikTok didn't delete the data. They actually kept the data. And for a while, they were trying to get back into the India market. They didn't know if there was a way to work with the Indian regulatory authorities, do some version of Project Texas, what I was talking about, what they're trying to do in the U.S. Right. to get back into the market. But they haven't been able to do that.
Johnny is with us from Southern Nevada. Johnny, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
I definitely think it should be banned, and not for any real political reasons. I think it should be dumbed because it's kind of, or it should be banned because it's kind of dumbing down America. I see people from the age of 5 to 65 just doom scrolling on their phones at work, at school, at home, and it just kind of also, people seem to get their news from there lately, and I don't really agree with that because it's like, oh, I heard that on TikTok. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to believe that, you know?
Well, so do you think that of the social media apps should be banned or just TikTok?
Personally, I don't have any social media whatsoever. And so I would totally love to see all social media be banned because me being 37, I've seen what it's like, you know, being a millennial, what it's like to have no social media. Actually, I mean, we're kind of born with the birth of the internet. And then also seeing that the development all the way up to present day. And I don't see it as good. You know, I have two boys, young, one just went into middle school, and kids aren't knowing, they don't really know how to socialize. Like, you give them the phone, they're fine.
Right.
But face to face, they can't have that personal conversation. Like what we're doing right now, they wouldn't know what to do.
Johnny, great point. Thank you for that call. And let me go to Commissioner Carr on that. This is sort of one of the things they were talking about on Capitol Hill this week is the effect on children of these social media apps. But what about that? Just forget about the national security idea. It that social media apps and in particular TikTok maybe is just bad for society.
Yeah, it raises a really interesting point. You know, TikTok itself is prohibited by the CCP from operating the app inside China. There's a sister app called Douyin, and it's very revealing when you compare the two. So TikTok has been shown in the U.S. to show kids everything from eating disorder to self-harm content to body image content, whereas the sister app Douyin is showing kids in China educational materials, museum exhibits, instructional materials. So it's interesting to see the big difference in content between those. And so I think that's, you know, part and parcel of the concern that goes potentially to the nefarious control by TikTok. And you're right. This was live just this week. A lot of social media companies are out there. And look, there's some baseline concerns I have with every social media company in terms of privacy and data protection. But I do think there is something unique about TikTok, both in terms of what we've seen with our own experience with it, but also those ties back to the CCP. And then again, the surveillance law that Emily mentioned as well.
John is with. Yeah, go ahead, Emily. Go.
Yeah, I think just given what we saw this week at the hearing, obviously there are a lot of problems sort of across the industry with social media companies being able to moderate content at scale. It's really hard. But on the point, sort of differentiating the U.S. from China, we don't have a great firewall here, and we don't ban speech we don't like. There's a lot of speech that's not great, right? There's a lot of speech that's really troubling, but the sort of theory in the US has been, propagandists, you can say what you want. Everybody gets a voice here, but we believe that sort of letting everybody speak, even when we don't like their speech, is the best way for people to ultimately get the truth. And so when we talk about banning social media apps because they're full of a lot of drivel, if we banned all the drivel, we'd have to ban a lot of stuff. And so I think it's just worth thinking about whether there is a more targeted approach, whether there's a scalpel instead of a hammer.
And there's also the question of whether the Supreme Court would even allow a ban because of First Amendment issues. Let's get to another call here. John is with us from Harvard, Illinois. John, welcome to the middle. What do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
I don't think it should be banned, but your commissioner stole my thunder there. I was going to say people need to go to China and see what TikTok is there. It's purely educational. It's only available from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and after that it shuts off, so the kids are kicked off. If they wanted to run TikTok in the United States like that, it would be fine.
John, thank you. Commissioner, would it be possible, do you think, to have a situation in this country? I mean, we have multiple time zones. I don't know if you could say 10 p.m., but would it be possible to do something like that with the TikTok in this country?
You know, I think in the main, again, if we can get to sort of breaking that tie back to the CCP, a lot of these other concerns I have wouldn't be as strong. We do have some time zone issues. Obviously, as you know, sort of on broadcast TV, there are certain things you can't say except for between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So we do have those rules. And even though it does wash over different time zones, you raise an interesting question, too, though, about the First Amendment. And that's one that I feel very strongly about, given that, you know, part of our job here at the FCC is to promote or at least not inhibit a diversity of views. And the First Amendment analysis here for TikTok is actually pretty straightforward. The First Amendment case law draws a distinction between government action based on content of what's being disseminated versus the conduct on the other hand. So, for instance, there's this lead Supreme Court case had to do with a bookstore, sort of a quintessential First Amendment activity place, and they were running actually a prostitution ring out of the bookstore, and the government came in and shut the bookstore down as a result. And the owner said, you can't shut down a bookstore. That's, you know, where First Amendment activity takes place. And they raised a First Amendment defense. And the Supreme Court said, no, this isn't even a First Amendment case at all, because we're taking action based on the illegal conduct that was taking place in it. And I think it's the same thing with TikTok. There is obviously the argument that Americans have a right to choose to receive foreign propaganda. But the way I think about it, too, is, you know, you could take a pen and you can write the most, nefarious propaganda against America that you want. But the moment you take that same pen and pick a lock with it, well, that conduct is something that we can take action on. And it's no defense to say that I was writing negative things about America beforehand. So I think that clear distinction between conduct and content in TikTok's conduct here with respect to these data flows give the government a clear opportunity to take action without violating the First Amendment.
Tolliver, Tolliver, hang on one second, Emily, because we have to give Tolliver, our TikTok expert, and on the crew here, just an opportunity. Thoughts here, Tolliver, so far?
No, I was good because, you know, our caller earlier said that she started a business on TikTok, and I just kind of wonder what Commissioner Carr or you, Emily, would have to say to, you know, people who are like, do you think it would have a serious deleterious effect on the economy if we got rid of this app suddenly?
Emily?
But I think that's a big concern for a lot of people, for me, you know.
I think it would have a big and deleterious effect on lots of parts of the economy. I think people who think we should ban it think that means it's more urgent that we ban it. So I think that argument cuts both ways. But to your point, and to the caller earlier who called in and said she started a business on TikTok, both when it comes to the sort of constitutional arguments and when it comes to the practical arguments, the fact is this thing is so big and so critical and such an important part of our discourse and our commerce and our culture that when we talk about sort of taking a government action against it, I think there are both constitutional and practical questions about what effects we would want to see that have and what effects we wouldn't.
We have a lot of calls. The lines are full, so let's get to some more. Pinellas Park, Florida. Erica is joining us right now. Erica, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
I don't think the entire app should be banned. I do like the idea of disconnecting it from China, but I don't think the entire app should be banned. And the reason why is because it's not just for entertainment. There's a lot of educators on there that are teaching for free during their live videos, languages, mathematics, you name it. So to lose that, I feel, would be a disservice to a lot of students.
Erica, thanks for that call. And let me get another one in here. Amanda is in Pittsburgh. Amanda, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
Personally, yes. I know this is such a controversial thing, but I think TikTok should be banned because, honestly, I think it merits a much larger discussion regarding how much data and information we give away and to whom we give it. I think it's a cultural trend to give away our data as our free currency, if you will, right now. And I think we're going to look back in 10 to 20 years at this cultural norm of giving away this personal information, currently mainly for the sake of entertainment. And I think some of us are going to shake our heads at how much we gave away without realizing the repercussions.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for that call. Commissioner Carr, it makes me wonder, actually, you know, if you were to ban TikTok, couldn't another TikTok just spring up right away and everybody would start using that instead? And that could be headquartered in any country around the world.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, in to some extent, people have said, well, we shouldn't take action on TikTok in particular. We should wait and put sort of a broader law in place that can address every single possible application that's like TikTok. And what I say in response to that is that's not our experience as a government. So, for instance, again, when we took action on Huawei at the FCC, that created a precedent and allowed us to go then after ZTE. When we went after China Mobile, it allowed us to go after China Telecom. So given the track record and evidence that we have on TikTok already, I think we should take a rifle shot action at the federal government at TikTok. And then we can go around and see, okay, what's sufficiently like TikTok to give us concerns? It's also not enough in this country, in my view, that a company be based or tied back to China alone for us to take some sort of action against them. In my view, we always have to look for plus factors of a lack of trustworthiness before we do that. That threshold clearly, in my view, has been met with respect to TikTok.
Let's go to Malcolm, who is in Belleville, Michigan. Malcolm, welcome to the middle. Go ahead. What do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
All right. So my opinion on TikTok, I'm somebody that uses TikTok every single day. I am the social media guy at the job I currently work at. We use it to spread our brand, spread our image. Personally, I believe that TikTok is harmful for younger children. There's content farms out there, people that make deliberately excessive content, very loud, in-your-face, short-form content that's generated to get kids to watch video after video. I personally see a bulk of my issues with TikTok coming with that. I don't necessarily believe in a nationwide ban. I believe there should be better age restrictions when it comes to TikTok.
Okay.
I believe that if you are between 8 to 12, or at least up to 12, you should not be on TikTok.
Malcolm, thank you. Let me take that to Emily briefly. Emily, what do you think about that, an age restriction?
There actually is an age restriction already. And if you're a kid under 13, you should not be using the regular version of TikTok. That's a federal law. There are TikTok and other apps have created special kids experiences. I'm not a parent in my life right now. And so I hesitate to tell other folks how to parent, but I'll tell you that as a millennial who grew up, you know, running around outside, I never got into TikTok because I couldn't stand autoplay videos like blaring noises.
Yeah,
I just don't like that.
And you just want to be outside. That's also nice. You know, Tolliver, according to Pew, 6 in 10 Americans see TikTok as a threat to national security, but it is 7 in 10 Republicans and only 5 in 10 Democrats.
See, now that's what I call bipartisanship. Let's go. For the record, TikTok does say that they don't give any data about users to the Chinese government. Their CEO, Xu Zichu, said as much during a hearing on Capitol Hill last year.
I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what? I find that actually preposterous.
I have seen no evidence of this happening. Mm. And in order to assure everybody here and all our users, our commitment is to move the data into the United States to be stored on American soil by an American company, overseen by American personnel.
Ooh, spicy. That voice calling Mr. Hsu's testimony into question was Congresswoman Anna E. Hsu, a Democrat from California.
And by the way, did you know that you can make a contribution in any amount to the middle through our partnership with Journalism Funding Partners? It's tax deductible. You could do it at listentothemiddle.com. Help us get out on the road as we head into the election. Help us grow. That is listentothemiddle.com. We'll be right back with more of this. Yes.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're talking about the Chinese-owned video app TikTok. Is it a threat to national security, and should it be fully banned in the United States? What do you think? Call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also reach out to us at listentothemiddle.com. Our guests are Emily Baker-White, technology reporter for Forbes, and Brendan Carr, a commissioner with the FCC. Before we go back to the phones, I want to just ask you, Emily, do you think that the possible mental health impacts that TikTok has on its users, especially young ones, is any worse than any other social media app?
I don't think it's different in kind. You see the same sorts of problems. You see eating disorder content. You see self-harm content. You see graphic violence on all of these platforms. One could make an argument that more kids are on TikTok these days than are on an Instagram or a Snap or whatever. And so it's more problematic for that reason. But I think the genres of harms are seen across the social media apps, and the fact that nobody has been able to fully fix them is a testament to the fact that either in order to get it all, these companies are going to have to take down a bunch of content that's actually also fine, or in order to not over-enforce, they're going to leave up content that they should be taking down.
Let's go to another call. Cole is calling from the Chicago area. Cole, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
Hi. As a TikTok user, I'm a little bit biased. I really enjoy it. But to the same point that I feel like, or that people say that it has an outsized foreign message in terms of politics or, you know, pertaining especially to the Israel and Hamas war. I do feel like TikTok is actually one of the few media outlets or media sources that the atrocities of the Israeli government are kind of truly being shown in ways that they aren't in on legacy media.
Do you like what TikTok is bringing to the news on that front?
I do. I feel like it's not bound to the same rules and, you know, lobbying and influence from Israel that, so I feel like there's a little bit more, it may be a little more bias on that side, but I feel like it's an extremely important counterbalance to what I would say is the overwhelming Israeli line on what's going on there.
Cole, thank you for that call. Commissioner Carr, let me ask you about that. You know, a lot of people were very angry about what TikTok was bringing forward, especially at the beginning part of the Israel-Hamas conflict. And, you know, there was a letter to Osama bin Laden from around 9/11 time that was brought forward, and that was a big issue. But what do you think about TikTok's impact on the news that people get?
Well, look, I believe in, you know, a diversity of opinion and allowing people to get viewpoints from all over the place. So again, Mike.
We lost the commissioner there. This is live radio, folks. Okay. Let's go to another call while we try to get him back. I really want to hear what he has to say there. Let's get to Gabriel in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Gabriel, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
Yeah. No, I don't think it should be banned. I think it's the right tool for the right job sort of situation. Essentially, when, you know, people curate their own content or are responsible for what they watch. If you like certain hashtags that'll populate to the surface, you know, they have plenty of things out there that aren't good for children. They're up to the guardians of them to kind of like not put it right in front of them. You know, we shouldn't ban pastries or candies. It's kind of up to the consumer.
It's up to the consumer. And we've got the commissioner back. By the way, Commissioner, I wonder if we have to give you an FCC violation for dropping off the show.
Yeah, I don't know. My connection has gone unstable on the second. So if you know anybody that knows a lot about telecom, I could use some help over here. But, you know, one thing I heard earlier, you know, we had the CEO of TikTok on that you mentioned. It may very well be the case that they've never handed data directly to the government of China, but they don't have to. The reporting has shown, and Emily has shown, that the data on U.S. user is accessible by ByteDance employees in Beijing, which employees are themselves members of the CCP. So once they access that data, it can be transferred and handed over to the CCP immediately. So what we've never heard the TikTok CEO say is that members of the CCP in Beijing have never accessed U.S. user data. So I think that's an important sort of point. We need the exact wording, careful wording that the CEO always uses.
Emily?
Yeah, I think when we're talking about whether people have access data, right, there are a lot of ways that people could access data. And I think when TikTok makes statements on the record and they want to make sure that they're being precise, they can say, we, the company, didn't hand over this data. I think any company would be worried about promising that their data had never been accessed by a group as large as the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, we even saw a few years ago, Twitter was infiltrated by several government agents of a foreign government. And this happens. Foreign governments do try to infiltrate these companies. They do try to get information about dissidents in their countries and whatnot. And especially given that TikTok has so many employees in China, if I worked there and I were trying to make sure that the data pipelines were clean, I would be just really worried about, there are so many people, and any one of them could sort of face a hack, face, it's not necessarily that they're trying to do anything wrong, but these companies are big and data gets around.
Daisy is with us from Bellevue, Idaho. Daisy, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
I'm a 67-year-old conservative woman, fiscally conservative, although I do find myself centrist on social issues. I do not believe that TikTok should be banned. I believe that the control of TikTok in terms of who views it should be parental. Absolutely. And there might be a way to make communities be able to block it from the people in it. But ultimately, it comes from parental. The government has no business blocking anything that's information.
Daisy, what about the national security concerns? Do you worry about that at all, that because it's owned by China, that they could be looking at data that could be used in some way against the United States?
I do, but I don't believe that the information it should be blocked. I don't believe that any information should be banned. Now, if we're at war, then I think that any kind of media would be able to, you know, pass information back and forth using whatever is available. Hmm. However, just for us to get along, I really believe that if information is out there, entertainment, whatever, the eye, you know, eye of the beholder, it's parents' duty to protect their children. And then it's the duty, unless we want a global kind of standard of morals and decency, which I don't think is possible.
I did have a question for Emily. I've been dying to ask. So I know you have a very specific experience with this because you were spied on. I think for a lot of lay people, when I hear like, oh, TikTok is going to have my data, or like, you know, CCP will have my data, I don't think anything of it because I'm like, oh, what are they going to do with it? What's sort of the worst case scenario for folks?
So, I mean, for me, the worst case scenario is actually like what they were trying to do, which is figure out who my sources are. And as a journalist, you really do everything in your power to try to keep the people who are talking to you safe. But I think you raise a great point, which is like, if the Chinese government gets your data, so what? And I think for some people, for Chinese dissidents living abroad, that so what could be really important. For a lot of other people, they could be like, okay, they can have my dance videos, I don't care. And I think one thing that we need to talk about is how easy it is for the Chinese government or any government to get this data in other ways. If the Chinese government really wants my IP address, I hate to tell you, they can buy it from a data broker. And that's not even illegal in the United States. And so especially when it comes to these data flows, data flows a lot of places, a lot of ways, and TikTok is not the only way that the Chinese government or any bad actor could get information about us.
Let's go to Ben, who is in Jacksonville, Alabama. Ben, welcome to the middle. What do you think?
I do think that we would have to, as inclusion, ban TikTok, but I think it's because of a deeper philosophic reason, and that's because we engage with freedom of speech because of liberalism. You know, if we want to choose John Stuart Mill, or we want to look at John Locke, right? Whatever liberal figure that we want to base this off of, the general idea is we share information in the advancement of reason to be a better understanding of nature and of us within nature. The Chinese government and the Chinese state is not based off of that. It's based off of a different political philosophy, a philosophy of historicism and a philosophy of Marxism.
Are you a professor? Are you a professor, Ben? Are you a philosopher yourself?
Am.
Okay, I can tell.
I'm no philosopher, but I am.
But you're a professor,
and I think I am a professor. And again, I just think there's a different. Again, if you have different philosophic understandings of what a human being is and what nature is, those things do end up mattering.
Okay, Ben, thank you. Commissioner Carr.
I think, look, if this was purely a question of content and of propaganda, it would be an interesting question, but it's not. And this is a case where, again, we have this conduct of people really not understanding the massive amount of data that's being collected when you're on TikTok. Again, it's search and browsing history, keystroke patterns, biometrics according to their terms of service. You know, here in the U.S., we also have a whole regime legally at the FCC that we apply to anyone that wants to obtain a broadcast license to own a radio station or a TV station. And as part of that, we run a national security review and we look at your trustworthiness. So I don't think that TikTok, if they wanted to buy a radio station, for instance, could pass the trustworthiness review that we apply at the FCC. And we're talking about a radio station that could meet, you know, 10,000 people, let alone now an application that has hundreds of millions of people on it. So there's a bit of an asymmetry there as well. But again, I think we can fully do this consistent with our own cultural embrace of free expression because of the conduct that is taking place here.
Let me get to another call here. Jeff is in Lincoln, Nebraska. Jeff, what do you think? Should TikTok be banned?
No, I sure do not. I am 55 years old, and I'm really kind of interested, but I think banning TikTok is not the right way to go about this.
app, just because it kind of goes back to you don't want me to tell you what to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do, kind of thing in a way. But I believe that there needs to be some sort of regulation on it. I agree with that. But there is so much education on it. And I have learned so many things in the last year, and it is driving me. It's going to help me start my own business.
Doing what?
And I'm a handyman, and I see all kinds of craftsmen on here all the time, you know, and it goes to what you're interested in. Yeah, you can find all kinds of things on there, but it really stays kind of focused on what you're interested in and the things you like to see, you know. And it also goes back to self-control, too, you know. I'm not a suntanner, you know. I don't go to suntanning beds and things like that, but I'm not going to tell somebody they can't go there if they want to.
Right.
Do that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So personal freedom there, Jeff. Thank you so much for that call. Emily, let me go back to you on that. You know, let me just ask you, as we've heard all these calls this hour, anything surprise you about what people are bringing up, Emily?
I would actually say no. There, TikTok is so big and so much of a sort of part of the fabric of our society. There are going to be niches for pretty much everybody. There's the suntanning community. There's the handyman community. There are the people who like fluffy cats drinking milk out of square cups. Like, there's so much. There is something for everyone. But I think the fact that there is something for everyone, one thing that I would really like to see more, and that would make me feel much more comfortable about the app, is more transparency about what people actually are seeing on TikTok. Because right now, because it's personalized to everybody, I don't know what the most popular 10 videos on the app are today. Yeah. I don't know what they were yesterday. I don't know what they were the day before. I can't look that up.
Right.
And if there were mandatory transparency for companies, we would be able to see what TikTok is actually showing to the most people.
Right. Commissioner Carr, what about you? Yeah,
I think it's an interesting point, because a lot of parents, for instance, they think of TikTok probably the way they thought about Facebook, which is it's a community of your friends and people you know. But TikTok is very different. As soon as you sign up, you are immediately being fed content dictated by the algorithm itself. So I think that's one feature that makes it very, very different. And again, I think we see a lot of bipartisanship on this. In fact, it's, you know, Democrat Senator Mark Warner, who's the chair of the Senate Intel Committee, who's been a real leader on this, as well as, Krishnamoorthy, Congressman Democrat from Illinois. So it's a real interesting bipartisan issue in D.C.
And it was former President Trump, who was saying that he wanted to ban it when he was in office, although he never did. I just want to get one little listener comment in. Laura in Kansas City says, why are we so worried about TikTok being owned by China? Fox News is owned and run by the Murdoch family, who's from Australia. Arguably, this station has influenced the views of millions of Americans. Twitter/X is owned by a man from South Africa, although he is American. And I bet, I don't know for sure, but I bet Rupert Murdoch is an American citizen at this point, too, at least a dual. Let's go to a quiz, Tolliver.
Yes, I'm in Nashville. Every time I'm here, they give me Nashville Public Radio socks. So whoever wins this quiz, you're getting some socks, okay?
Okay.
It's a multiple choice one. The U.S. has the biggest TikTok audience with 150 million active users. Which country has the second biggest TikTok audience? China, France, Indonesia, or Brazil?
Guess? Either one of you?
Not China, because it's not available there. So I don't know. Maybe Brazil?
Emily?
I would go with Brazil also.
It's Indonesia.
Okay.
Really?
Like 125 million users. Look at that. I know. Shocking.
150 million in the U.S., right. Let's say thank you to our guest, Brendan Carr, commissioner at the FCC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you. Thanks so much.
And Emily Baker-White, technology reporter for Forbes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Tolliver, next week, the Supreme Court is going to hear oral arguments about whether former President Trump can be kept off the ballot because of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, it's a big question with huge implications, obviously. And we want to hear from you. Do you think Trump should be allowed on the ballot this fall? You can call us at 844 464-3353 or write in at listentothemiddle.com. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly newsletter. Come on.
And don't forget to sign up for our podcast, because that special bonus podcast about China is coming out in just a few days. The Middle is brought to you by Long Nook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks to Nashville Public Radio for hosting Tolliver in their studio this week in exchange for apparently a key lime pie. And thanks to iHeartMedia and the more than 400 public radio stations that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Talk to you next week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.